welcome each one to the service this morning. It's glad to be gathered together in the house of the Lord again. So one phrase that stood out to me in the first song says, "In mercy he reigneth, our sovereign divine." As we think of rulers, usually they rule with justice, but we don't often think of them as being rulers of mercy. But in mercy, our Savior reigns. He is our sovereign divine. And I praise the Lord for that. I'd like to look at one section of our vision, mission, and value statement. And I'd like to look specifically at the value of Scripture. In the statement it says, Scripture, the Bible leads people to Christ, grounds in truth, guides in life, and brings believers to maturity. And it uses the scripture in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. It's a familiar passage. How often do we apply it? That, yes, this is inspired. And as we look at the list of names in the Sunday school lesson to start with, is that inspired, all those names? And yes, there's a reason. Might not make a lot of personal application to us, but it's there for a purpose. We recognize that this is the written word, and it leads people to the living word of Jesus Christ. If we remove biblical principles from a group of people, the civilization declines to a barbaric society. How much it impacts us is a little difficult to measure. Those of us who have grown up in Christian homes, we have heard the word from childhood, and we probably don't realize how much Scripture actually impacts just the daily lives that we live. I'd like to look at the four points that it makes, that it leads people to Christ, it grounds in truth, guides in life, and brings believers to maturity. It leads people to Christ. In John 5, when the Jews and Jesus were talking with each other, and Jesus tells them, "Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words?" And so Old Testament scriptures, it leads to Christ. And we could look at different prophecies that were fulfilled in Christ that clearly pointed to the coming of the Messiah. And in New Testament, repeatedly pointing to Christ, the fulfillment, and in the epistles, pointing back to the work of Christ. The Bible leads people to Christ. And if you have a gospel that distracts from Christ, the centrality of Jesus Christ, you have a gospel that is foreign to the written word of God. The Bible grounds in truth. In John 8, verse 31 says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And so the Bible, it leads us or grounds us in truth. Usually when we talk about something being grounded, we have something that has stability. It is stable. And it's out of the stability of truth that we gain freedom, that it is freeing. Now, if we look at just the idea of freedom, on the surface, it may not seem very stable. But when it's grounded in truth, there is a freedom that you don't have when you just do what you want to. That's not true freedom, just doing whatever you feel like. But the truth grounds us so that we can enjoy true freedom. And John 17, verse 17, Jesus says in his high priestly prayer for his disciples, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. Sanctification is that continuing process of being grounded. And I think sanctification applies to all of these. It continues to lead people closer to Christ. It grounds in truth. As we're sanctified, it guides us in life, and it brings believers to maturity. So the word is truth, and it is what sanctifies us as we spend time in it. In Psalm 1, verse 2, and following, says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And what's the result? And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And so as we get into God's law, in his word, we'll be like that tree. The roots go down deep. There's stability. It grounds us in truth. The Bible guides us in life. In Psalm 119, verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. So it's as we go through this life, it's like a light when we're going through the night and we have that flashlight. It shows us the way. It gives direction. It illuminates. It shows the obstacles in our path so that we don't need to stumble over them. In Hebrews 4, verse 12, this is in the context where he's talking about Israel having wanted to enter into a rest. Some could not because of their unbelief. Maybe I'll start in verse 11. It says, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Sometimes we just take that verse by itself. The word of God is quick. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. But as we look at the context, it says, look at the examples that were before us. Examples of unbelief. And as we read the word of God, I think it exposes areas of unbelief within our own heart. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It exposes really what is in here. As the next verse says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And so as we read the word, I think it exposes what is in our heart if we look at scripture honestly. And I think it's important that we deal honestly with what we find then. If there's unbelief, that we believe. Where there is doubt, that we have faith. Let the word of God do that for you. Expose what's in your heart and be that guide for your life. In 2 Timothy 3:15, talking to Paul, writing to Timothy, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. And so Timothy, as a youngster, he was exposed to scripture, and it gave him knowledge. It made were able to make him wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. And that's what Scripture should do for each one of us. It leads us to Christ, to salvation. The Bible brings believers to maturity. In 1 Peter 2, verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. We need to start with the basics. But as we feed on the word, it should lead us on to maturity. In 2 Peter 3, verse 18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How do we grow in that grace? How do we grow in that knowledge? It's by getting in the Word and familiarizing ourselves with it. That's where we get knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. And as we know Him, we grow in grace, or the empowerment to live out what Scripture says. The Word of the Lord endures forever. Let's make Scripture a part of our lives. Read it. Meditate on it. Sometimes we may do it as a discipline, but as we do it and it becomes a part of our life and we allow it to speak to us, it's something that we should enjoy and we look forward to. In Psalm 119, if you just look through that psalm, it tells quite a variety of things that the Word is and does, just a few of them. In verse 11, tells it keeps us from sin. Verse 18 talks about the wondrous things. It's a wonderful thing. Verse 50, it quickens. Verse 52, it comforts. Verse 54, it's my song. Verse 72, it's better than gold. Verse 80, it keeps from shame. Verse 105, it's a light and lamp. 140, it is pure. 165, it gives peace. And if you want to, there are more in that psalm. These are just several of them. But the word of the Lord is precious and endures forever. If you're floundering in life, get into the word, something that is stable, that will endure, will be forever. Let's sing one verse of 326, forever settled in the heavens. Verse 1 of 326.
Forever settled in thy hands, thy word, O Lord, shall firmly stand. Thy faithfulness shall never fail. The earth abides at thy command.
I invite you to kneel in prayer. Thank you, Father, that your word is forever settled. It endures. It has stood the test of time and will continue to stand after time is no more. And Lord, as we look at the written word, I pray that we would apply it to our lives and allow it to lead us to you, the living word. Lord, teach us. We come today with our hearts, our ears open, and we want to hear and apply to our lives what you have for us. And we want to walk in obedience. Direct this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.